Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Get Real with Mama Moines. I am your host, Mama Moines, aka Emily or Amelia. I just had somebody ask me that on my Instagram. They saw my Amelia necklace, and she's like, wait, I thought your name was Emily. My name is Emily. Well, it's not actually Emily, not legally. My name is technically, legally, Maria Emilia Gonçalves de Moura. I've said this before. Somehow, when I came to Canada at the age of 7 and I started school, my teacher labeled me or started calling me Emily. I don't know how or why. I was young. I was 6 years old. And it just stuck. And so now I am sort of known as Emily. Legally, my name is Emilia. Even though my first name is Maria, Maria Emilia, we technically don't go by our first names when in Europe or in Portugal. Like my older sister is also Maria. I'm Maria. My older sister is Maria. Maria Fatima, and I'm Maria Emilia. She goes by Fatima. I go by Emilia. Can you imagine coming into Canada and we both show up on registration day at school, two sisters, both with the first name Maria? Anyway, so in Canada, although at home she was Fatima, they gave her Maria at school and they gave me my second name, but they switched it to Emily. I don't know why. My parents can't remember why. And so here I am. I am your host, Emily Moines. And Moines is the name of my first husband. It's the last name of my first husband. And since I divorced my first husband and my second husband, my kids are all from my first husband, and I wanted to have the same last name as my kids. And that is why I am Emily Moines. There you go. Now, can I ask you guys a favor? I went on hiatus from this podcast for many months. You guys, doing a podcast, and now also I want to go into YouTube because I really do want to dedicate more time to this whole rebuilding a kick-ass life journey and hopefully help you guys that might be in a similar situation after divorce or after adversity or after a struggle. If you've gone through any of that, I want to help you sort of cross over to the other side and start rebuilding your kick-ass life. But it is so much time. It's so time-consuming to do a podcast and to do videos and even to stay on Instagram. Now, you guys were all up in my DMs. When you bringing back the podcast? When you bringing back the podcast? Well, I've come back. I've done, I think, 3 or 4 episodes now. And if you are listening to this podcast, can you please just follow or like or review or something? Because when you do that, it picks up, helps to pick up advertisers. The more people that are listening, the more people that are commenting, the more people that are reviewing. And then maybe at some point, maybe I can actually start, you know, making some money and have it, you know, worthwhile. Because like I said, it is so time consuming. And I do love doing it. I really do. It, like I've said before, it's just as therapeutic for me to talk about this stuff as it is, you know, for you that might be getting something out of it when you're on the listening end of my podcast. But if you could just do that, would really appreciate it. I've never asked you guys to do that before. But now that I am committing to spending more time doing these podcasts, that would really, really would go a long way. And so we're going to get right into it like we usually do. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to answer some of the questions that I have been receiving, mostly on my Instagram account. A lot of you will send me a DM and then I do respond. I'm going to say I probably respond to like 90% of my DMs. But when it's like a long form question and you're asking for Well, I'm going to read some of these questions to you. It's something that I can't just sit down and type it all out. It's too much to explain. And so I took some of the best questions or the questions that I thought could probably resonate with the majority of you. And I've written them down and I'm going to answer them here for you today. So here we go. The first question. I've been following you ever since I saw you on The Bachelorette. I love the interaction you had with your son. I have 3 young kids myself, and I'm wondering how I can make sure that when my kids are adults, I too can have a close bond with them. Okay. So for those of you that are listening for the first time, I was on the show The Bachelorette because I have a son who was on the show, who made it all the way to hometowns. And then we went to film the hometowns. And I think I was on camera for all of, I don't know, 5 minutes, if that. But we did have, I do remember having a very emotional conversation with my son, with Blake, on that show. And so the only thing I can say to you is, as hard as it is, it's hard. It's, you know, it is difficult to parent. The easy way out sometimes is to just to give in, to ignore, to let it go. But for me, what really works, and by the way, you guys, I have 3 kids. My oldest is 33. My second oldest is 30. Also my son. And my third is 28. And one thing that I go by and have always gone by, and this is, you know, I might get some people go, well, I don't agree with that. Listen, it's worked for me. First and foremost, I am their mother. I am their mom. I am not their buddy. I'm not their friend. And so I think that when you parent like that, there's a certain level of respect. There's a line that is sort of drawn that they don't cross. And I've talked about this before. I remember being at the cottage. I think my kids were probably 16, 17. My boys, they're only a year apart. And I remember being at the cottage and they had a bunch of friends up. And I remember one of the kids, we were in the kitchen. I was making breakfast for everyone. There's probably 7 or 8 boys down for the weekend. And one of the kids lit, marijuana, weed. They started whatever, toking. I don't even know how to explain it because I've never been a drug person. I am so, when it comes to that, I am so square. So anyway, they lit up they were smoking oh my God, what is wrong with me? Get the word out. I want to say a stogie. It's not a stogie. They started, like, they rolled up a marijuana weed and started smoking it right there in my kitchen as I was cooking breakfast. And they thought nothing of it. And apparently this kid, would habitually do that at home with his parents. So it was no big deal. And I remember the look on my middle son's face, and he was like, dude, what are you doing? My mom's right there. And that's what I'm talking about by sort of the level of respect or the line that you just don't cross. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. My kids were probably smoking weed. I'm sure they were. But never, ever, ever, ever would they do that in front of me or at home. And so there's just, you know, a line between being their mom and being their best friend. And that doesn't mean that we don't, you know, I wasn't close to them or have a close relationship with them. I just feel like, you know, with your kids, they get one mom, one. They've got a lot of buddies. They've got a lot of friends, but they get one mom, and I wanted to be their mom first and foremost. Now that my kids are adults, you know, we can be friends, of course, but still, I am their mom. And so I think that's really important. The other thing that I think is really important, stay connected to your kids always. Always stay connected, and always, this is really, really, really important. Always make sure that no matter what, no matter what it is, they can come to you with anything. And if they're having a problem or they're having an issue, let them know. You want them to run to you, not run from you. You don't want them to think, oh shit, my mom or my dad, they're going to freak the fuck out. You want them the first thing to be like, oh shit, I need my mom, or oh shit, I need my dad. So if you have the line of communication open at all times and let them know that no matter what, you will be there for them, then I think you can't go wrong. They will grow up being trusting and feeling safe, that they can come to you with anything. Now, that being said, that's on you. You have to make sure that when they do come to you with a problem, that your immediate and first reaction is not like freaking out. Your first you have to remain calm and remain in a state that, listen to what they're saying, try to remain calm, and give them a feeling that they're being listened to, and that it's a safe place for them to come when they do have a crisis or issues or problems or whatever it may be. Just stay really connected. Stay connected and do that from the time they're young, and take an interest in their lives. Ask them, take the time out of your day to ask them, how was your day? What did you do? I remember at dinner we used to have like the highlight reel of the day. And when they were young, they used to hate it. You'd get one word answers. How was your day at school today? Good. What'd you do? Not much. It was always one word answers. But as they got older, they did start to open up and start to talk more. So leave the lines of communication open. Be a safe place for them always. Even if inside you're feeling like, you dumbass, why would you do that? Make sure that you think before you speak so that they're not afraid to come to you with anything. Now that my kids are adults, I love the fact that they want to come home for Christmas. They want to hang out with you. They call you for advice. That will happen if you keep the lines of communication open. Be the parent. Don't be the best buddy. Because I think if you do that, there's always such a level of respect that they look up to you, and they will come to you whenever they need help. So that's that. Oh God, this question is, I heard you say on one of your Instagram stories that you were arrested during your second marriage more than once, but I can't remember why. Can you explain? Yep, I can explain. Okay, so I've been married twice. My second marriage was the whole reason behind me writing a book, starting a podcast, and being on this journey of self-discovery, therapy, becoming the best version of myself. And I got on that journey because I had spiraled so out of control in this very tumultuous, toxic relationship with my second marriage that I don't even know who I became. So during the course of that marriage, the police were involved. Oh, it's so embarrassing talking about this. Honestly, even today, I still get so triggered. On a few occasions, the arguments became explosive. And I'm going to talk about that on a whole different podcast, what it's like to be in a relationship with someone who I believe was a complete narcissist. Now, that being said, there's been no diagnosis. It's just me having done the work, looking back, now knowing the traits, the characteristics, the mannerisms, the behaviors of somebody that falls under narcissistic personality disorder. Now, I really believe and think, and in my heart of hearts, I really really truly believe that I was in a marriage for 15 years with somebody who was a narcissist. And so when you are in a relationship with somebody like that, arguments are never worked out. There is never anything that is resolved. They have such a high, their egos are so fragile that if you have a difference of opinion, it is very easy for an argument to escalate and become very explosive and become violent. And so I was, and I'm going to always maintain that I was falsely accused of domestic violence and arrested and charged. Now, I always go back to the case of Gabby Petito and Brian Landry. If you guys don't know about this case, look it up. It's where she was easily falsely accused and she became the victim. Sorry, she became the perpetrator. He became the victim. And the police cam, when they released that and I was watching it, it was so triggering for me because it was so clearly evident of everything that I went through, where he, the actual perpetrator, was very calm, very hyper-compliant, very collected, very cool. He had established a rapport with the police officers, and she, as the victim, became the perpetrator because she was the one that was, you know, very out of control, was not in a calm, cool, collected state of mind, was crying, was hyperventilating, was in a real state of confusion. And that's basically what happened in my situation as well. And so when you have somebody that is narcissistic, and they're very, very good at manipulating situations and manipulating authority. And so in my case, that is exactly what happened. There was a massive fight that I have talked about in my book as to how we got in that state. It was actually because of my daughter and him verbally attacking my daughter. And that just triggered me. Now, I also have a background of domestic abuse from my parents and their marriage. And I know after many, many months of therapy that I was conditioned. See, my thoughts are just everywhere. And I'm sorry, you guys, I feel so jumbled. But my mom and dad were in a relationship where my dad was, he would drink and then he would become very abusive with my mom. My mom never, ever, ever fought back. My mom would just take it and take it and take it, which left the three of us kids to fight literally on her behalf and to be the protectors of my mom. And I think that in that situation, when my ex-husband was verbally abusive to my daughter, I took on that role again as protector, as I had been conditioned to do, and I did fight back. And it came to a point where I was so triggered and so pushed, my buttons were so pushed, that I did physically fight back. So did I, so was I arrested for abuse? Yes, I was. Did I physically hit him? Yes, I did. Was I, though, on the defensive and on, because he did, listen, I was shoved. And when that happened, that's when I went on the attack. But when I relayed that story to my kids, they were in complete shock. So my kids were away at university when this took place, except for my daughter. She was home for the weekend. They were in complete shock because never once, never, never in all of my years as a parent had I ever raised a hand to my children, and never had they seen that side of me, because I'd always been with my kids very calm. I'd always took the approach of, I want to listen to them. I don't want to repeat the cycle. That's why my book is called Break the Cycle and Rebuild a Kick-Ass Life. Rise up, take charge, break the cycle. And if there's one thing that I can tell you guys, If you come from an abusive situation, if you are now parenting, you do have that second opportunity to create the family that you never had. And I always looked at it like that, because I did come from a situation, from a family where my father, being Portuguese, was the head of the household, was very chauvinistic, was an alcoholic, and he ruled the roost. My mother was submissive, didn't have a lot of say, just swept everything under the rug, just, you know, it was all about show and what people thought. And it wasn't a very, it wasn't a family where we could talk and, you know, discuss things that sex, for example, was never talked about in my family. Feelings, emotions, nothing. There was no guidance. There was no safe space to sort of open up. And so I made a conscious effort that I now was going to have a second chance to create the family that I never had with my children. I wanted to have a loving, nurturing, mutually respectful relationship with my kids. And that is what I established. And so on that fateful day when there was an attack on my child, Mama Bear came out. And that is why I was arrested. Now, just to let you all know, all of those charges were finally quashed. I don't have a record, but let me tell you something, and I could do a whole podcast on that. I was in the system. I did get into the system. I was fingerprinted. I was mugshotted. I was at my lowest of lows, lowest of lows, broken beyond. And I will talk about that one day. How did I overcome that? And how did I get to a point where I have become the very best version of myself? That took strength, courage. You guys, if you are at your depths of despair, you literally have to walk through the fire, walk right fucking through it, walk through it in order to get out on the other side. And that's what I did. Okay. Do you feel judged for being divorced twice? Yes, I do feel judged for being divorced twice. If you guys listen to or watched the Golden Bachelor, there is a girl on the Golden Bachelor who came in second. Her name was Leslie. And I saw an article, I was reading an article on Us Weekly. A lot of I think the question was posed in the article, because typically when the second runner up is usually becomes the bachelorette. And so the question was posed about Leslie becoming the bachelorette. And some of the comments I saw on that article were so disparaging. And a lot of them were because she had been divorced twice. And I thought, holy crap. Like the comments were, no, she's already had two, you know, chances. No, she should not be the next bachelorette. No, clearly she doesn't know what she wants if she's already been divorced twice. No, red flags, twice divorcee. And I'm like, oh my God. So yes, do I feel judged for being divorced twice? Yes, sometimes I actually do feel judged. Now, let me tell you something. My first divorce, and I've said this a million times, I was married at 23. I had my first child at 24. And that marriage probably could have been salvaged. God, we were young. So do I regret that divorce? What I regret is breaking up the family. I don't believe that. I mean, I do believe that I am exactly where I need to be today. Do I regret that divorce? I regret that my kids grew up not being in an intact family. And that's probably why I, you know, remarried 5 years after that divorce. So do I regret that? Yes, I do. Do I regret my second divorce? No, not at all. I think what's that saying? I walked from the from the flames to the fire or something like that. Like that second marriage, oh my God, that, I don't regret that divorce because like I said, it put me on a path of self-discovery, but do I feel judged? Yes, I do. I do feel judged for being a twice divorced. I do. And I think that's probably why it's taken me such a long time to date, and to go and to, you know, to, I've built up such a wall. It's taken me such a long time to let those walls down. It's now been 8 years and I have not been in an exclusive relationship or even dated for that fact, because I now finally know my worth and I will not 100% be in a situation where I am, it's not right and I am not happy and it is not right for me, just because I don't want to be alone and I want to I am just never going to be there again. I am never going to be in a situation where I put my self-worth aside just so that I can be with someone. And so, yes, I do feel completely judged. And I'm only going to answer one more question because I'm taking so long to answer these questions. I only want my podcast to be half an hour long because I know you guys are busy and you have busy lives and I don't want to keep you here forever. But the last question I have is from someone that said, I've left my abusive relationship, but now I feel really, really stuck and I don't know where to go from here. Okay, so you know what? I get it. I get it. I get it. Oh my God, I remember having those feelings. So what you need to understand and what you need to know more than anything is you have to let go of what was and you have to create a new normal. That is really fucking hard, really fucking hard, because you're going to keep wanting to look in the rearview mirror and you're going to miss a lot of things about that marriage or that relationship. And I'm going to tell you something, what's going to come to the forefront, it's this thing called romanticizing the relationship. All you're going to be able to think about for the longest time now is the good times, all the shit, all the crap that you went through, whew, gone out the window. And you're going to second guess yourself. You are going to second guess yourself and you are going to think, holy shit, what have I done? Did I do the right thing? Did I do the right thing? But listen to me. When that happens, I want you to think back to the shit, to the crap, to the times you spent crying, to the sleepless nights, to the times you were, you know, in a fetal position, bawling your eyes out, to the worry, to the stress. You have to go back to that. Please, I'm telling you, if you are in an abusive relationship and you know what that felt like, think about that. That's what I had to do. Because you guys, I went back, listen to me, 4 times. I left my abusive marriage and went back 4 times. Why did I do that? Because we keep second guessing ourselves. We get scared and we think we can't do it. And then we don't want to be alone. And then oftentimes they start love bombing and trying to hoover us back in. And when that happens, it's all, you know, they're remorseful, they're sorry, they want you back. And if that's happening to you right now, that's part of the cycle. You're in this cycle. And I'm telling you, you have to think about the crap. Think about when you were at your lowest. Don't think about the great sex you had. Don't think about the financial worries that you didn't have. If you truly want out and you truly want peace and you want freedom and you want to build a life where you don't have to walk on eggshells and you want to build a life where you don't want to be crying all the time and be stressed out and you don't have any self-respect and you want to try and build a life where with someone else, perhaps, that you do have mutual love and mutual respect, then you have to create a new normal. And creating that is baby steps. It is one day at a time. You're not going to be able to do it overnight. Don't worry about next year. Don't worry about next month. Don't worry about next week. Worry about today. Get through today, then get through tomorrow, and then get through the day after that. And slowly, slowly, you will start building a new normal. You're not going to start feeling normal for a long time. I can't even remember what the statistics are, but I think for every year that you were together, it takes like 6 months out of that year, like to start feeling normal again. So if you're together for many years, it's going to take years to really start to feel like you're, the old you is back. So baby steps, you guys. Listen, there's pros and cons to everything, but if you are leaving a relationship that you had abuse, adultery, or addiction, the three A's that I talk about all the time, and you've left that and you want to build a better life, a new life, a kick-ass life, which was my goal, it is possible. It really is. Walk through the fire. Walk out on the other side. Take it from me, who was arrested, who was in a jail cell, who was broke, who was broken, who was at my lowest. It can be done. It can be done. I promise you. Thanks for listening, you guys. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you here. I don't even know when I'll see you here. I try to put a podcast out a few times a week. So do me a favor, follow. When you follow, you will get notification of all the podcasts that I do. Please follow, review, comment, do whatever it is that you have to do to keep these podcasts going. And I will see you here on the next episode of Get Real with Mama Moines, where I will always be keeping it real. Bye.